Welcome everyone to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is WebSphere Commerce, Workspace Best Practices and Troubleshooting Common Problems. Today's presenters are Musa Abraham, Salman Khan, and Roy Long. Musa Abraham is a software engineer on the WebSphere Commerce support team. He has been part of the WebSphere Commerce support team since 2008, specializing in staging and workspace components. He was also part of the DB2 development infrastructure team, specializing in Unix scripting and automation. He graduated with honors from York University in Canada with a bachelor's degree in computer engineering. Roy Long is a software engineer at the IBM Toronto Lab in Canada. He has been part of the WebSphere Commerce support team since 2006 and is currently working as an accelerated value specialist for WebSphere Commerce. Salman Khan is a support analyst on the WebSphere Commerce support team. He has been part of that support team since 2009 and specializes in the install and staging components. He was also a member of the Rational Common Desktop install team at IBM, where he worked on customizing the installation mechanism for Rational products. He graduated from York University with a specialized honors in computer science in 2009. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Musa. You may begin.
Thank you, David. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our presentation on WebSphere Commerce Workspace Best Practices and Troubleshooting. Slide 2, please. Within this presentation, the agenda topics are: we will first talk about the overview of workspaces, followed by best practices you should follow. We will then state the limitations which exist, and then talk about some case studies, and finally, end with references. Slide 4, please. The first question you might want to ask is, what is workspaces? A workspace is an access-controlled work area where you can make and preview changes to manage assets without affecting what is currently running on your site. Working in the context of workspace is similar to having your own private copy of managed assets. You can make changes and preview changes without affecting the managed assets outside the workspace. Once you're happy within the changes you have made in the workspace, an approver can commit the changes to the production database and begin to see the effects on the site. Slide 5, please. So, how do workspaces work? Workspaces provide data isolation. Each workspace has its own database schema to keep data separate from other workspaces and the production-ready data. Each workspace in WebSphere Commerce consists of three database schemas. The following schemas are used in workspaces: base schema, which contains the current content; write schema, which stores the content changes; and read schema, which presents how the current and the change content look like. When users preview their changes, their write and base schema are hidden behind the read schema. The read schema first checks the write schema for requested data, and if not found there, it goes to the base schema. Essentially, the read schema consolidates all the altered and unaltered data from the write and base schema and packages it as a single entity. Slide 6, please. In the following slide, we talk about the workspace publishing flow. The workspace manager is responsible for creating and managing a workspace. The first step is to create a task group in your workspace to work on files and data. When creating your task group, optionally set the quick publish option for your task group to publish file and data changes to production server as soon as all tasks in the task group are marked for complete, and then all approvers are satisfied. You can also optionally enable quick publish retry so that if quick publish fails on the first attempt, it keeps trying for a specified number of times to ensure that the files and data are published. Next, you must create all the tasks for your task group, then activate your task group, and optionally set a specific date and time to commit files and data from your task group to production-ready data on the authoring server. You must then complete all the tasks and then approve the task group which they belong again to commit the data. Slide 7, please. So what are task groups, tasks, and workspaces? A task group represents the unit of work requiring a separate approval within a workspace. A task group consists of a set of tasks to be performed in order to complete the work defined by the task group. A task is the unit of work for which users or group of users are authorized to contribute the data and content. A workspace is an isolated access control area on the authoring server that is used to make changes to manage assets without affecting assets outside the area. A workspace also consists of one or more task groups. Slide 8, please. Put Publish allows workspace data to production environment database directly. Quick Publish also updates and marks all corresponding data in the authoring server's stag log table as processed. If you don't set Quick Publish, the data will only be saved to the authoring database, and later on you will have to run SpaceWrap tool to publish the data to production server. Also, you could set the retry flag so that it will automatically retry the publish process if there is a failure within the process. Slide 9, please. When creating a task group, you need to ensure that you also create tasks which content contributors can work on. A task is a unit of work for which users or groups of users are authorized to contribute the data and content. Below, we show a screenshot of how the workspace tasks look like when using the workspace administration tool and the new management center workspace tool. Slide 10, please. During the process of completing a workspace task group, content contributors must first mark their task as complete after they are done working. Next, all the tasks have to be completed, and then the task group which contains all these tasks can be approved by the admin user. There are three ways a data will be committed after approval. First, if Quick Publish is set, it will be done immediately to the production and the authoring environment. Second, if it is scheduled for future date when creating the task group, it will be committed in the future date. Otherwise, it will be committed to the authoring database immediately after approval. Slide 11, please. The following diagram shows users affected during the workspace publish process. As you can see in the diagram, we have the workspace manager, the task group approver, and the content contributor. In the diagram, you also see the approval process as it goes from one space to the next. A workspace manager has the ability to create and manage a workspace and the task and task groups. The task group approver is responsible for approving the content created by the content contributors for the task group. For example, if the task group involves preparing the text and image for a new product, the product manager can be the approver of the task group. The workspace content contributor is responsible for completing the task assigned to the workspace manager. One example would be changing the description of a catalog entry. Slide 12, please. In WebSphere Commerce version 7, feature pack 3, the Management Center Task Tool is renamed to the Workspace Management Tool, and all capabilities of WebSphere Commerce Workspace Administration Tool are available in the Management Center Business User Tools. This feature also delivers enhanced functionality and usability by improving upon the task group approval process. A history view is created for the task group and all management center objects updates performed in workspace environment for this task group is also shown. This allows approver to quickly verify that the required changes were made and confirmed and that no unexpected changes are included. Slide 13, please.
Okay, so we move on to slide 15, where I'm going to talk about workspace practices. Oh, 14. Always have strong business process in place to prevent the situation outlined in workspace limitations and restrictions, which my colleague Simon will cover in the next sessions. For example, use task group command to coordinate and track work and for communications. Workspace content contributors should use task group command to keep other workspace contributors post about their work and changes they have made. Task group comments are also useful for workspace manager to see how work is progressing to tell task group approver what changes has been made that require approval. This is important because a business object is locked only when it is saved. Now, for example, if there are two contributors opening the same object, the first contributor to save the object lock it. Even though both contributors open the object, only the first save contributor can continue working on it. The other contributor cannot change the business object until the changes are either committed or undone. Also minimize the number of tasks assigned to workspace content contributors. Try to combine the work assigned to a workspace content contributor into one task when possible. This prevents unnecessary task switching and improves the content contributor efficiency when working on tasks. Moving on to slide 15, please. The other aspect is dependency. Try to keep task groups independent of each other. A task group is the smallest unit of work that can be committed to the production-ready data on the offering server. This means that all updates made in the task group will be committed to the production-ready data together, but updates made in different task groups are not guaranteed to be committed in the same transactions. Interdependency among task groups requires you to commit the task group in the correct order. Because resolving interdependency among task groups is not automated, you should keep task groups independent of each other. To keep task groups independent, you should carefully design your task group and not use managed assets more than one task group. The task group locking policy does not completely prevent users from accessing managed assets that are created in different task groups. Now, for example, if product A and B are created in task group A and B respectively, it is possible a cross-sales association between product A and B can be created in task group C. Creating and using only one task group per workspace is recommended if it can satisfy your business requirements. This is the strictest way to guarantee task group independencies. Moving on to slide 16, please. Consistencies. Keep the workspace and production-ready data consistent is always recommended. You can always introduce inconsistency between workspace and the production-ready data by directly updating the production-ready data. When you update a managed asset in a workspace, the managed asset is not locked in the production-ready data. Update made directly to the staging or production-ready data can be overwritten once updates in workspace are committed, or the updates can cause the commits from workspace to be blocked. For example, if you update a category in a workspace, you can block the commit or the changes in the workspace by deleting the category from the production-ready data, and that's caused a problem. If you need to work directly on the production-ready data, consider using Quick Publish task group in the workspace instead. Otherwise, you must check if you must manually apply the same changes to all of your workspace as well as the production-ready data. Moving on to slide 17, please. Quick Publish. There are lots of cases where you want to use Quick Publish. Emboling retry for Quick Publish is always recommended. If a Quick Publish fails due to DB2 deadlock timeout error, the file and data change does not get published. You can enable Quick Publish retry to automatically force Quick Publish to retry again if the deadlock timeout exception is encountered. We also ask you to consider changing the Quick Publish post publish size. By default, Quick Publish post publish process data from all the resource manager and then propagate them sequentially. Now, if the total amount of data to be propagated is larger than the available memory assigned, this can lead to an auto memory error. You can change how Quick Publish post-publish process resource managers to limit the error from occurring. You can either tune the Java virtual machines to increase the heap size or edit the Quick Publish post-publish size. Moving on to slide 18. Performance. There's an information center link called Performance Consideration for Workspace. We always recommend you to check that page from time to time. There are different performance calculations due to the complexity of workspace design. For example, the use of database view instead of tables to retrieve the data. The complexity of SQL used in workspace will definition in order to maintain data integrity while using workspace can also cause performance delegations. Workspace also involves joining, such as inner or outer joins or multiple workspace views. So on that page, performance consideration for workspaces, we have available DP2 fixes published that can help improving the performance of workspace. Moving on to slide 19, we have a few recommended APARs for workspace. And here in the table, I list a few. If you want to find more APARs that are fixed in Commerce FixPack, I recommend you to go to this link where you can find additional APARs that can help improving the stability and performance of workspaces. I will pass it on to my colleague, Simon, about limitations.
Thank you, Roy. Can we get to slide 20, please? So now we'll have a look at some of the limitations encountered with the workspace feature. Slide 21, please. So the default maximum number of active workspaces is 5, where an active workspace is one that contains at least one task group in an active state. This maximum number specifies the number of database schemas allocated for workspaces. However, if a workspace manager creates more workspaces than the number of workspace database schemas available, task groups in workspaces without an available database schema cannot be activated until another workspace is completed or canceled to release a database schema. So you can increase the maximum number of workspaces during instance creation. This is done using the Configuration Manager, which provides you with a GUI for configuring the WebSphere Commerce instance. We have had some clients open PMRs previously asking to create additional workspaces after already creating an instance. So post-instance creation, you can add additional workspaces by using the config and utility and passing in the DC num workspaces parameter as an input along with the number of workspaces you'd like to create. Can we move on to slide 22, please? Okay, so another limitation with workspaces is with the mass load utility, where loading data using mass load does not check for referential constraints. This limitation allows bad data to be loaded into the workspace and subsequently creates problems when committing to the production-ready data. To recover from such a case of bad data, you can use the mass load utility again with the same XML, but specify the delete flag instead. This will get rid of the bad data, and you can go back to your input data, fix it, and try to mass load again. Slide 23, please. Okay, so starting from Feature Pack 2, Commerce added the catalog filter and pricing tools introduced to create and manage catalog filters, price lists, and price rules. Unfortunately, this tool does not support the workspace feature today, so if you do enable workspaces and you go into Management Center, you won't see this tool available. Slide 24, please. Okay, so workspaces do not log changes made by the workspace users. Instead, users are encouraged to use the task group comments to record changes for any task. Users in different workspaces should not work on assets which have the same unique identifier in the same store. For example, you shouldn't create products create or update products with the same part number in different workspaces for the same store. Another similar example is uploading files with the same full path for that file in different workspaces for the same store. The problem here is if assets in two different workspaces have the same unique identifier for the same store, and each workspace has a task group containing this asset, only the first task group committed to production-ready data will succeed. The subsequent task group submitted will fail with a duplicate key exception. This limitation doesn't apply if you're working on tasks on different stores. Later on in this presentation, in the case study section, we'll cover how to handle such a scenario if it does happen. Can we move on to slide 25, please? Okay, so Feature Pack 5 introduced a new functionality of undoing changes made under a task. This functionality gives the task group approvers more control over how they can manage tasks and task groups. However, there are some limitations that we need to be aware of. You cannot undo a history record which has associated history records dependent on the one you're trying to undo. So, for example, you cannot undo a create category if you created products within that category. If you really need to undo a create category, first you must undo all products associated with that category before you can undo the creation of the category itself. The undo feature is not supported for search term associations or managed files. As a reminder, managed files are assets you upload using the asset tool. If you do want to make changes or undo changes to managed files, you can use the asset tool to manually undo the changes. Also, this limitation does not apply to attachments. The third limitation listed here is that the undo or deletion of a sales category will not restore products created or copied into the workspace. So if you wanted to restore the sales category contents, you will need to drag and drop products from the master catalog to the sales category. The last limitation on this slide is the undo of a deletion of a product will revert to the approved version. So an example of this is if a product has four SKUs and then you add or delete SKUs from this product and then finally you decide to delete the product. Now if you undo the delete, the product will have four SKUs as it originally did. And now if you wanted to update the product to have the correct number of SKUs, you will need to manually add or remove the SKUs again. Slide 26, please. Okay, so some limitations also apply when you're previewing a shopping flow. For example, the shopping flow preview isn't supported for Oracle. It is only supported in DB2 with non-ATP stores or no inventory systems. This limitation applies because as unmanaged data in base schema needs to be upgraded during the shopping flow, and the data has foreign key constraints with the assets in your write schemas. An example here is a shipping instruction for order. Slide 27, please. Here's a list of a few other flows that don't work in the workspace preview mode. Dialog activities, automating marketing actions, testing of bestsellers and top browse actions, and calculating views and click revenue, web activity experiments. Next slide, please. That was the end of the limitations section. Now we'll be doing a few case studies. So let's move on to slide 29, please. So the first case study is about a duplicate key exception being seen when committing workspace data to the staging server. So as you can see in the middle of the slide, there's a duplicate key exception thrown in, and in this case, the error is related to the CM file table. Let's move on to slide 30. So the duplicate key exception here occurs because two different workspaces are working on the same object. This could happen if multiple task groups are working on the same task. Again, this is a result of the limitation mentioned earlier, which discouraged the creation and update of the same objects across workspaces. Let's move to slide 31. So the most common reason customers encounter this error is because they have created an object in two different workspaces, and these objects share the same unique constraint. For example, in the case of catalog entries, the unique constraint being shared would be the part number. So when the first object is committed, the commit will succeed. However, the second commit of the object fails. There are two ways you can recover from this situation depending on what feature pack level you're currently on. So if for users with feature pack 5, which has introduced the undo option, you can use this undo option to delete the duplicate object. For those users who are not yet on feature pack 5, you can delete the duplicate object using Management Center. But to be able to identify which object to delete, you can enable the content and workspace tracing, which will tell you the actual SQL that leads to the duplicate key exception. And you can use this extra information to find the associated task groups and tasks and delete the duplicate object. Now I'll pass this to Roy, who will be taking you through case study 2.
Thank you. So moving on to slide 33, please. Operator, please. The case study number 2, unable to run quick purpose reliably. Sometimes you may see the error as shown here, where you have a timeout exceptions and then causing a transaction rollback. We do have a few APAR that can fix this. There are many different reasons that can cause transaction timeout. For example, the complexity and the performance of the SQL are not good enough that causing the transaction to timeout. JR355R4 that can enhance the performance that you can use when approving two or more tasks. The LI75155 provide retry mechanism for workspace quick purpose features. That particular APAR work for DB2.log when error code is -911 or -913, and for Oracle errors, ORA4020. Moving on to slide 33, where I will pass it on to Musay to talk about case study number 3.
One of the most common questions asked is what to do if you want to convert a production server to an authoring server. Currently, out of the box, if you want to create an authoring server, you will need to create it during the instance creation, during the first time you install Commerce. In order to convert a production server to an authoring server, you will need to first convert your production server to staging server, and then after that, you can then convert it to staging server, which becomes an authoring server. So as you can see in the diagram above, the authoring server contains the staging database as well as all the workspace database. Slide 34, please. As a solution, in order to convert the production server to staging server, you will need to first mass load the Bootstrap data related to the staging tables to your production server database tables. Next, you will need to run the SQL files for generating tables and triggers to the staging database. Slide 36, please. Actually, slide 35. Yeah. After you're done with the previous step, converting, the next step would be to convert it to become an authoring server. In order to do that, the first thing you would need to run would be the config @bat with the number of workspaces you need. Once the above script is run successfully, your production server will now become an authoring server. So now you can be able to work with the workspaces and also the staging server. Next slide, please. Below we have a list of reference links for general understanding of workspaces, best practices, and limitations. We recommend that you have a look at the above links for full details. Next slide, please. To conclude this presentation, we have a summary which we looked at for overview of workspace architecture. We discussed workspace best practices, acknowledged some limitations, and gave examples of case studies. And finally, we showed some reference links. Next slide, please. This chart includes links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for WebSphere products. Visit the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site to learn more about upcoming WebSphere Commerce Technical Exchange webcasts, like the one you have attended today, and access previously recorded presentations. This is the end of our presentation, and we thank you for your time. I will now pass it to David.
Thank you, Musay, Salman, and Roy, for a great presentation. And finally, don't forget to connect with us. You can be notified about upcoming webcasts related to the product and topics discussed today by subscribing to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange mailing list. Simply send an email to wschelp@us.ibm.com with the subject WSTE Subscribe to get a list of all the mailing lists that you could choose to subscribe to. Also, if there is a topic you would like to see scheduled or if you have any comments that would help us improve our future webcasts, please let us know at that same email address. You could also connect with us through our Facebook page and our Twitter account. Talk to us and let us know how we can make this program even better for you. We welcome any ideas that you may have. Thanks for your participation. At this time, Julie, we would like to open the lines for questions.
I'm showing no questions.
Okay. Thank you, Julie. At this time, we will conclude the presentation, and we hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation and hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Musa, Salman, and Roy, for presenting.